Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to God's house. Welcome to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. And welcome to our family on the other side of the screen. Today the sermon is entitled, Never Mind. And our scripture lesson today comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 19. While you're looking that up, five people boarded a commuter plane to do a short little hop across the state to get to where they had to go. And as they was flying along, the pilot come on and said, "We have engine trouble, and we have got to lighten the load of this plane significantly, or we're going to crash. Now, we're getting ready to fly over a very large lake, and I'm going to slow the airplane down some. On board are four parachutes, but there's five people. You're going to have to decide which ones are going to jump and which one's going to ride it out. Now, we're going to be going slow over this lake, which will give you kind of a soft landing. I'll let you start figuring it out as we approach the coast." First man jumps up and says, "I am a world-renowned surgeon, and I have surgery this week, and I am saving lives left and right. I am far too important to entrust my life on this plane." And he grabbed a parachute and jumped out. Next person jumped up and said, "I am a captain of industry. My companies support efforts all over the world. I am truly needed," and grabbed a parachute and jumped out. Now left on the plane was a man, a preacher, and a hiker. And the man suddenly jumped up and said, "I am the smartest man on the face of this planet. Doctors wouldn't be able to do what they do without my knowledge. Captains of industry wouldn't be able to do without my knowledge. I am the smartest man in this plane. I am probably the smartest man you've ever met. The world cannot live without me." And he grabbed a parachute and he jumped out. The preacher turned to the hiker and he said, "My son, I have lived a long and beautiful life, and I am ready to meet my Creator should it come to that. You may take the last parachute and jump. You'll be all right." And the hiker looked at him and patted the old preacher on the shoulder and he said, "Don't worry about it, parson." "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, that fellow that said he was the smartest person in the world, he jumped out with my backpack." Never think you're that smart. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do so as one speaking from the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of the glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. May God add his blessings to this passage as we seek him out in prayer. Please join me. Father, we thank you. As we enter into this sermon, let the ramblings and thoughts that you have given me be brought together, be glued together to make sense, to bring forth a message from you. Let us hear it, Father. Let us be strengthened by it. Let us contemplate what you say to us and dwell and take it away from here today that we may use in the week to come to strengthen us, to talk fully of Jesus Christ and His saving grace, and let others know that the kingdom of heaven is still there and still ready to receive them. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask that this message be from you to us fully. And all of His children said, Amen. There is a word, a singular word that permeates my very inner being. It is a very bad word, and I use it far too often. Far too often that word bubbles to the surface and I get caught up in it. I'm sorry if you've ever heard me use it. I'm sorry if you've ever been around when I've extolled it. I'm sorry because, quite frankly, I'm not clean. Last time I checked, even though I like to tell certain individuals in my household that I am almost next to perfect, I am about as far removed as perfect as the East is from the West. I am not righteous. I am not made up. I am nothing. Lately, I have been challenged when the reality of all of this Christianity thing kicks into gear. Notice I said that Christianity thing, like it's a thing. That's what the world calls it today, that Christianity thing. You one of them Christians. You are a bad person because you are a Christian and you think you're better than everybody else because you are a Christian. You just want that. Never mind. Let me tell this story. Let's see if we can tie all this together. He said, I was going to pass him and win that race. That's all there was to it. And he didn't want me to, so he hauled off and crashed into me. And he shoved me out the way. Well, I wasn't going to have no parts of it. And so I got back up on the track and I went after him. And if I wasn't going to win, he wasn't going to win. And that's just how it was going to be. He got me loose and sideways. So when I came back, I was going to get what's mine. He wrecked me. I didn't wreck him. Green flag stops. This man took the lead on the 178th lap. He had the challenger close behind him. And they battled it out going around that track. In the final laps, they were fighting as the white flag dropped. And we all know what the white flag means. Last lap. And as a race fan, sometimes that last lap is the craziest of them all. They were fighting one another all the way around, and as they came into turn two, they started banging into one another. By the time they got to turn three, the second place knew he had the horsepower, knew he had the draft, and set up the slingshot around number one, and he made a run for it. Number one wasn't having no parts of that, so he crashes into number two. Number two, trying to be number one, goes down the bottom of the track. Number two comes back up the track, smashes into number one. Number one goes down the track, and back and forth they go until they bang into the wall down the bottom side of turn number three, coming out of number four into the infield, and that's where they came to rest. The man in third place was 30 seconds behind those two fools. And he was lamenting the fact that he had lost 45 races in a row and was starting to doubt his ability, was starting to doubt his sponsors were after him. And when they crashed, he mastered to the floor and held on for the best he could as the challenger in fourth place came after him. And he crossed that finish line and he took home the biggest racing purse in that time at $73,500 and ended a 45 race losing streak and surprised everyone. As the offended drivers were sitting down there on the side, the 1979 Daytona 500, the first fully televised race ever, saw Richard Petty, who did not think he was going to win that day, win. Because two people out for revenge took themselves out of the way. And never mind the fact that they both had something to win, they let poison get in their way. And the man in the back who didn't think he had a chance and had given up hope, won. Won! Now, a little bit of history. I am 55 years old. I have to check on that every now and then because I completely forget. I'm 55, but if you ask my wife, she'll tell you I'm 12 on any given day. Sometimes even less. How many people in this room saw that race on the television set in 1979? You remember Yarborough and Allison. Couldn't behave themselves, could they? So overcome by the fact that he got knocked around. Now that's racing, and Rubin's racing, and we all know that. That they let revenge and poison get them out of the way. Never mind the fact that they had a race to finish and they could have gone all around the track and been all right. Richard Petty said after the race, he never felt that he was going to get to where he was. He was starting to lose faith in his ability. 45 races lost. And yet what happened? He stayed the race, rode with patience. And what was showed up at the end? You know that word that I like to use every now and then that I'm not supposed to use? That word that sums it up? Revenge. Revenge. How many people, you don't have to say, I'll do it like this. I don't want to embarrass anybody. That's never been my intent. You all know me by now. I don't like to pick on or embarrass anybody. So I won't ask you to say amen or put your hand up or anything like that. I'm just going to look at your faces when I ask this question. How many people have been involved with the word revenge? Oh, yeah. All of you at some point or another. All of you. There's a favorite TV episode of mine where the woman is learning how to cook from her mother-in-law. And she is doing such a fine job and people are raving over it that the mother-in-law becomes mad, decides to teach her her signature dish and leaves out one ingredient. And the whole family can't figure out what happened. But she knew. And then she finally has to break down and apologize. Revenge! We live in this world of revenge. I get lost in it because I am a big, dumb, hillbilly farm boy, as I'm often called. I can only think along one way sometimes. When somebody doubts Christianity or says something about the church or Jesus or a Christian, I only sometimes know how to respond in one manner and one manner only. And that is to remind them that I know how to move cows. I can move you. And that's not what we're supposed to do. Never mind it. Go back to your scripture for a moment. Peter writing, big, loud-mouthed, full of himself, ready to jump into anybody's face, Peter. You know, I say it quite often. My name is Paul. Paul the great preacher, the evangelist, the man who did everything. I was named Paul, good biblical name. I'm fairly certain that if they could have done it at that time of day, once I started learning how to speak, my dad and mom would have probably changed my name to Peter because I'm more like him than Paul. I'm big and loud and often find my foot stuck in my mouth. Peter, after seeing everything that Jesus Christ went through, became solid and devout unto him and realized it's not about the revenge. It's not about being loud. It's about simply saying, never mind to the world, I follow Christ. And he lays it out. Verse 7, the end of all things is near. 2,000 years ago or so, when he wrote these words, the end of all things is near. How many people believe that the Lord is coming back? Say amen. Amen. How many people believe he's coming back this week? How many people believe he's coming back this month, this year, this century, this minute? Is it possible? So he's right. The end of all things is near, but he's also writing from a different angle. He's talking about our life. Whether we live to see Christ's return or not, one day the end will be near and we will be set forth in final judgment. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. I struggle with that, and I know you do sometimes as well. He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, the next verse, number 9, is a toughie for everyone. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Do you know what grumbling is? Oh, man, who's in the driveway again? Who's on the phone? Dadgummit. I just sat down. Look at this. I got steak and I got taters here. And I got my knife and I'm... Maybe it was a mistake. I pick up the phone and I'm thinking, who in the world? And then somebody on the other end is like, I need help. But I'm sitting... Okay. Offer without grumbling. Hard one to do. Each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I know of people that think that they can't preach. They've told me, I could never do what you do. Why not? Well, you get up there and do that. Well, so could you. Each one of us has a gift. Each one of us has an ability. We just celebrated Mother's Day last Sunday, right? Was it last Sunday? I get lost. Do you know what those gifts are that we celebrated last Sunday? Here we go. Leadership, control, self-worth, quality, endurance, patience, love. That's what mothers teach us. Those are the various gifts administered to us. That's preaching 101. Son, don't do that. Why not? God's watching you. That's not a good enough reason. I'm watching you. Okay, Mom. Gotcha. We get lost in this big overarching thing within the Christianity label that says we have to do these great big things and we don't. Do you realize that on the mornings that we come in here, when you hold someone's hand and say good morning, you don't know what's going on by the time they've walked through that door. You have brightened their day. Various gift. When you pick up the phone and call someone just simply because it suddenly came to your mind to do so, various gift. When you send that card to someone who's not here, someone who's sick, various gift, various form. Never mind the fact that you don't think it's getting somewhere. Peter goes on, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the power and the glory forever. Christ works in each and every one of us, whether we realize it sometimes or not, in the simplest way. But he goes on with the warning, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Turn on the news. Pick up a newspaper. Listen to somebody else. Christianity, in its various form, is under attack. That's something new, ain't it? Christianity being under attack, that's something that's really brand new. We've seen a whole lot more of it. It seems to be elevating up the chain. It seems to be more and more. It's brand new, ain't it? Say amen if you believe me. Right. Been going on since day one. It's been going on since Cain picked up the rock. When we profess our belief in Jesus Christ, who is not currently here, we have never seen him. But we profess that we have faith in our Christ, that we have the hope of his return, and we have the knowledge of it, which allows us to love, we become an instant target. And Peter is saying, never mind the world. You're going to go through this. So did Jesus. Rejoice in that, but rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. That is one powerful line in all of that. Can you imagine when we cross that river that day, that chasm, that cross, when we walk up and see Him for the first time, all the suffering, all the pain, seeing that glory gone. Never mind what went on back here. Look at what's in front of you. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, be blessed. Oh, you're a Christian, huh? Why, yes, I am. Thank you very much. It even says so on his business card I'll give you. Paul N. Leatherman III, professional Christian. I don't have any business cards, but maybe I should get some made up and hand them out. That would spark conversation, wouldn't it? He says, if you're being insulted because you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, because you go to church on Sunday morning, because you walk in here, because you say grace at the table, don't worry about it. Never mind all that. Continue to do it. Because the glory which will come because of it will be something you cannot measure. Whoever's fooling around in front of you, let them. Be there ready to receive the reward. If you suffer, it's not as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or someone who gets in the way of everything. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. Us first. In verse 18, he says, if it is hard for righteous to be saved, what will then become of the ungodly and sinner? And then he extorts it out. In verse 19, he says, don't let the poison get in and ruin your life. Don't let revenge take over. Don't lose sight of the fact. Never mind all this other stuff. Continue to focus on God, on Jesus, and do good. In his book, The Last Years, Charles Braceland Flood reports that after the Civil War, the great and honorable general Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a tree in her front yard that had been there since the beginning of time. She extolled how beautiful it once was and how much shade it provided. Then she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. She looked to Lee for a word condemning the North, or at least sympathizing with her over her loss, and after a brief silence, Robert E. Lee, General Lee, said to her, cut it down, my dear madam. Cut it down, throw it in the fire, and never mind that it was there. It's better to forgive the injustices of the past than allow them to remain, to let the bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life. Sometimes we look in front of us and we see things going on and we don't understand why we're behind. And yet up front, they're fighting for position. And eventually we know we're going to win. Eventually we know we're going to see the joy. Never mind all this stuff that goes on around us. Quite frankly, we need to focus on other things like the old, I don't know. Let's try this one. See if you know what I'm talking about. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each person's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. God says, never mind. Jesus says, forget it. The Holy Spirit, the living Holy Spirit, puts it upon us to feel that when we allow that poison of hate and revenge to start coming in. Never mind them. Pray for them. Be of self-control and of sober mind so you can pray and show love. In today's world, professing the name of Jesus and God as the truth is a surefire way to have the ire of everyone drawn on you. Honestly, can make you mad. Never mind. When others are fighting for the lead, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. When others are pounding down on you, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Never mind this world and its foolishness. We are tasked with a greater cause. We are tasked to love one another, to love each other, to love the world. And so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Never mind what position you're in right now. Be reminded, when it all shakes out, we will win and see the glory of God, because we love, because we care, and because we profess that name. Never mind this world right now. Be strengthened by who you are in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would just bind us together right now. That you would remind us of what we are. We are counted among you, Father. We are yours. We are bought and paid for. We accept the truth, the reality. You were born. You walked the earth. You were born of the Virgin. You proclaimed the name of heaven. You proclaimed who you were, and then you died and rose again to show us that. The kingdom of heaven is open to those who believe, and we do. Father, let us not look toward revenge. Let us not look toward the poison when people look down upon us. Never mind all that. Let us look toward how we can show them the love of Jesus Christ and be those people that you have called out. It is a glorious weight that we bear. It is a glorious pain that we suffer. And one day, Father, we will cross that line and see the joy of it all for eternity. Let us not lose sight of that. Father, we thank you for your precious Son, Jesus, his birth, his death, his resurrection, and for leaving us with the Holy Spirit to help us each and every day. In your name, your Son's name, and the Holy Spirit's name, we say thank you. Amen.